thank you to the organizers for inviting me. The premise of this work is a beautiful work by Buzzard and Taylor from the late 90s. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to start by recalling that and explaining a little bit the idea in their proof, and then I'll tell you how to generalize it in the case of Hilbert's modular forms. Okay, so Buzzard Taylor, I think 99, they proved the following result. Let's say that P is bigger than 2, K is a finite extension of QP, OK ring of integers, M maximal ideal, and Galois representation rho, which has the following properties. Ramifies, so rho ramifies at finitely many places. Restricted to a decomposition group at P, it's the direct sum of two characters, alpha and beta, such that alpha and beta are unramified at P and distinct modulo the maximal ideal, and rho bar is modular, and let's say absolutely reducible. Okay. Then rho is modular in weight 1. Okay? So this was a nice combination of ideas from the proof of modularity, like Taylor Weil's proof of modularity of Galois representations, and geometry of the modular case and analytic continuation of modular forms. So let me try and explain how it works. So I will focus on the analytic continuation part. The way it works that you start with this data and you produce two deformation rings by switching alpha and beta, and also using companion forms you can produce two Hecke rings, Hida Hecke rings. And then using the ideas of Taylor Weil and Diamond, you can show two R equal T theorems and produce actually two families of modular forms. Now we specialize those into weight 1, and you're going to get two modular forms of weight 1, but they're not necessarily classical ones. So you're going to get produce F and G, which are over convergent ordinary eigenforms with the property that they have, and so at P or outside P, they have the same eigenvalues, and at P you have UPF is alpha F and UPG is beta G. Okay. F and G are not classical. They are two overconvergent modular forms, and we want to prove. Of course, we know that rho F and rho G, they are both isomorphic to rho. Now, it's enough to show that F or G is classical. Okay. Now, what they show is, in fact, so they show that alpha F minus beta G is in fact classical of weight 1, But do you say weight one? So weight one of weight one and of level prime to p. And that would prove the theorem. But how does one show this? I want to explain this and then show you how to generalize this result in for the Hilbert modular forms. So let me put some make some setup here. So let's take x to be the modular curve of level prime to p. And okay, I'm going to be working with the rigid analytic version of that. So on this, you can define, so on points of x, which correspond to some elliptic curve with level structure away from p, you can define a valuation which you can think of as some sort of a measure of supersingularity of its reduction. So one way to think about it would be to look at the Hasse invariant at the reduction of this and lift it and evaluate it at q and take the valuation, okay? And truncate it at 1. So that's going to be a well-defined number. So if your valuation is 0, you have an elliptic curve with ordinary reduction, and the more the valuation you think, you have more supersingularity. And so if I have an interval inside 0, 1, I can always form xi, meaning all those q such that the valuation of all q in x such that the valuation belongs to I. Okay, so I'm going to be, so these are going to be admissible opens inside x. Huh? So I'm going to be cutting out these kind of open subsets of x and saying that f and g are over convergent means that you have sections that are defined on x of 0 and epsilon for some epsilon positive. Okay. And what we want to do is to show that alpha f minus beta g extends from x of 0 epsilon to x of 0 1, which is x. And then, okay, now what do you have? You have sections of a line bundle on some rigid analytic variety, but then you use a rigid analytic Gaga and deduce that alpha f minus beta g, in fact, algebraic. And that would be that would show you that this is a modular. Okay, but how does this process of analytic continuation work? Now, to explain it, I want to move to another modular curve where you add the subgroup of order p. Okay, so here x was some elliptic curve with level structure, and here I'm going to add the level gamma naught p, where C is a cyclic subgroup of order P. Okay? And of course, you have the projection pi, which sends E, forgets the subgroup C. Now, using canonical subgroups, one can think of, before that, let me tell you that there is also some valuations defined on Y. Okay? So if you have a point Q in Y, then you can define also V of Q, which is different from that V. So I won't define this, but I will just tell you that if this is your modular curve, you're going to have the ordinary reduction locus is going to have two connected components, the multiplicative reduction locus and the etale reduction locus. So this is where the canonical subgroup lives, the multiplicative reduction locus. So the valuation is going to be 0 here, it's going to be 1 on the other locus, and it's going to be on the supersingular locus, it's going to be strictly between 0 and 1. Okay? One way to think of it, which is actually useful for the next talk, is that valuation of Q, which is corresponds to some elliptic curve and subgroup, is in fact 1 minus degree of the subgroup C. And this is the degree function which is studied by Farg and other people. Okay? So I will be explained in the next talk by Yichao. But think about this valuation like this, and I have the supersingular reduction locus here. Now, using the theory of canonical subgroups, I can produce from F and G sections called F and G again on Y of 0 and epsilon. Okay? So that's going to be sections defined here. F and G. Okay, so what Buzzard and Taylor do is the following. They say that take alpha F minus beta G and take F minus G and apply the Atkin-Lehner operator. So F minus G is going to be defined here, yes? But if you apply W to it, it's going to be defined on, in fact, from 1 minus epsilon to 1. Okay? Now, if I could show, so let me call from 0 to epsilon, let's call it U, and this will be called, I had a color chart, would be easy to read. I'm going to call this U and call this W of U. Okay? So this is defined on U, and this is defined on W. Now, if I could prove that epsilon is big enough, for example, bigger than 1/2, so that these two overlap, and if I could show that these two are equal on U intersection WU, then I could obviously glue them together and show that I have something classical. Yeah. So there are two steps involved. One is to show that, first of all, F and G extend from 0 epsilon to some big 0 epsilon, where epsilon is bigger than 1/2, for example. And the second is that on the intersection, you have this equality of these two sections. And then the result would follow, okay? It wouldn't quite follow because I claim that alpha F minus beta G, thank you, is in fact defined in level prime to P. So after that, I would have to descend this alpha F minus beta G from Y to X. Yeah. So the final step is descend alpha F minus beta G from Y to X. This is a slight modification of their proof. It's not exactly how the proof, but in essence, this is, I present it like this because this is the way I generalize. That would be the way to prove it. I also should say this, that since you know that your Galois representation is unramified, if it is modular, you can prove that it comes from something, a level prime to P. So once you know that, you can actually guess what your candidate should be, because F and G, you think of them as the P stabilizations of that answer, and you can actually, so you know the answer and you prove that it's the right one. Okay, how do we prove this in the case of Hilbert modular form? So let me first write the results and make some comments, and then I'll explain to you the proof. Okay, so let's let L be a totally real field. P is a prime, which I'm going to assume is unramified in L. I have, just like before, I have my K and OK and M. Okay, theorem is if K over QP is finite, Well, I think I already said that. So I have rho from GL to GL to OK, such that rho ramifies at finitely many primes. And just like before, for every prime above P, rho restricted to the composition group at that prime is the direct sum of two unramified characters and distinct modulo M, and rho bar is modular plus absolutely reducible, restricted to galva of L over cube zeta p, sorry, q bar over L zeta p. And there's a fourth condition that it's really not necessary for the application, that rho bar has an ordinary lift. But, you know, due to work of Barnett, Lam, G. Garrity, and also for the applications one can just arrange this. So, then what? Then the rho is equal to rho f for f some Hilbert modular form of weight, parallel weight 1 and level prime 2p. Okay. Now before I go on to explain to you the proof, the idea of the proof, I want to make some comments. So since this work was completed, there have been two other results. One by Piloni and one by a joint work, myself and Sasaki and Tian. So Piloni independently, but somewhat similarly, shows the same result, allowing mild ramification for the prime P in the totally real field. And generalize these to allow tame ramification for the quotient of these two characters, alpha over beta. Okay? And now we're like all of us working together to try to prove it for the prime P arbitrary ramification in the tutorial. Okay, so I should also say that when P is split in the totally real field, this was previously proved by Sasaki. Okay, so let's see what we can do. P is unramified in L. The split case was taken care of, so I'm going to assume that P is inert, and one can show that going from inert to the general is easy. So for the rest of this talk, I'm going to assume that P is inert in L. What goes wrong if you try to just do the same argument of Buzzard and Taylor? Right. So first of all, you can produce the F and G again with the same properties. Okay, so F and G, weight 1, 1, 1, over convergent Hilbert modular forms, and same eigenvalues outside P and UPF alpha F. Okay, in this case I have only one UP because there is P inert, yeah? So I'm going to call it UP F alpha P and UPG beta G. And I want to show exactly the same. I want to show that alpha f minus beta g is classical of weight 1. I want to show that exactly the same, that these two are equal and glued together. Okay. But what goes wrong? When p is inert, if you look at the natural u that comes out of the methods, and if you try to do this, you will see that, well, u and w do intersect. However, u union w, I'm going to tell you what u is later, but just before that, this is very small. I mean, it's definitely not the entire variety. Why? But not even, well, you know, there is a, okay, I should tell you this. We have a bit of leeway here in the case that G, I'll tell you what G is. Okay, if I assume G is bigger than 1, I have a bit of leeway here. B? Okay, thank you. I have a bit of leeway here. Why? Because of the following principle of Kosher. So Kosher principle, the rigid analytic Kosher principle. It tells you that if you have a section of some vector bundle, okay, over y, not all of y, but so you're missing a part, which in reduction mod p has codimension bigger than 1, then the section automatically extends. Okay, so it tells me that I have a bit of leeway. I don't have to show that u union w is the entire y, but I can miss some small regions if I want. Unfortunately, this is actually far from that, much smaller than that. So the complement of this is quite big. In fact, the complement of this in reduction mod p has codimension 0, okay, meaning that it contains dense subsets of irreducible components. So it's removed with 2 degrees from the optimal result. Okay, so I'm going to sort of fill in those gaps one step at a time, okay, and show that you can actually make this big enough. But if I want to tell you about that, I'll have to explain okay. I wasn't turning the pages. So if I want to tell, I have to explain to you what this statement is, but I mean, what's the complement of this and so on. So I have to tell you a little bit about the geometry of Y before being able to finish the proof. So I'm going to take a digression now and tell you a little bit about the geometry of Y and then come back to this problem. Okay? So geometry of Hilbert modular varieties, mod P and, you know, p-adically. So, I have the same notation. So L over Q is D. I have my prime P, which is unramified in L. I have P is inert in this case. Then I have O mod P, which I call kappa, and I have the Frobenius of this kappa, and also the Frobenius of W kappa. I'm going to denote both of them by sigma. I have a set of indices that I will use often. So it's going to be the embeddings from O into W kappa. And they're going to be, if you fix one embedding, the rest are going to be the powers of Frobenius composed with that. So we can think of this as index 1, index 2, and index D, if you like. Everything will is going to have, of course, I have to remove this. Everything is going to sort of decompose to d parts, indexed by those. What else? Okay, I'm going to consider my x and y. So x is my Hilbert modular variety in level prime to p. So this is the modular space of some Hilbert modular variety level prime to p. So abelian variety with action of OL and other data polarization and level structure. And my y is going to be the moduli of AC, where C, you add a subgroup to this, and C is inside A of P, and it's O invariant, it's isotropic, rank P to the G, and P to the D. Yes, I have to be careful now. Okay, so this is just like before, the Y on X, and of course I'm going to have a map from Y to X, which forgets the subgroup. Okay, and using, so this is, these are the integral models, I'm going to have two varieties, Y and X, these are the rigid analytic versions, and I'm going to have Y bar and X bar, these are the mod P versions. And I have the same maps between them, calling them pi again. Okay, now I'm going to tell you a little bit about X bar and Y bar, but more about Y bar. Okay. So X bar was studied by Gorin and Ort, and they introduced the type stratification on X bar. Okay, so Gorin and Ort, X bar, so the type stratification. So it's a stratification given by Ta, where Ta is a subset of that index set B. Okay. So there are two to the D possible strata. And what is the type? You should think of type as, so a supersingular elliptic curve has type 1, an ordinary elliptic curve has type MT. Yeah? And here, you just look at the Diodune module of the p-torsion, and you look in the directions where kernel of Frobenius and Verschieben non-trivially intersect each other. So you get a subset of B, which is called the type. Okay. What I'm going to use from this is the following. Yeah. So the codimension of the part where the type is given by Ta in X bar is the cardinality of Ta. And for Y bar, it was studied by Gorin and myself. We studied a stratification called the W phi eta, where phi and eta are now both subsets of B, with subject to some condition. Now, what are phi and eta? Phi and eta basically it looks at the subgroup and decides in which direction it is similar to the kernel of Frobenius, in which direction it is similar to the kernel of Verschieben, okay? And in terms of the Diodune module. So that gives you two subsets. Phi gives you the Frobenius, and eta gives you the Verschieben. And here you have three to the D strata. Okay? But what do we do with them? So I'm going to need this stratification to visualize my variety and then draw pictures. So I have to be brief here. So I guess, okay, so this is what I will do. I'll draw a cube here. So imagine the hypercube of dimension D. So that's 0, 1 to the power D, okay? So I'm going to have one interval for every direction. I'm going to consider y bar here, and I'm going to consider y here. I'm going to tell you that both of those are visualized using this cube, okay? So there is a one-to-one correspondence between the strata here and the faces here. By face, I mean everything, vertices, edges, sides, inside, everything, the open face, whatever you want to call them, or cells. So there's a one-to-one correspondence between the strata and the faces, which is order reversing, in the sense that the dimension here becomes D minus the dimension. So maybe I should give it a name. If this is W phi eta, I'm going to call this A phi eta, and then the dimension of W phi eta is D minus the dimension of A phi eta, and also the specializations reverse. What do I mean by that? If a strata specializes to another, the corresponding faces specialize to each other in the other order. Okay? So you can see how exactly things come together as they do here. So, for example, if you look at the inside, which is a d-dimensional face, that corresponds to the smallest dimensional strata, which are points, which are super special and have their subgroup equal kernel of Frobenius and kernel of Virchow equal to each other. If you look at the vertices here, however, they're going to correspond to the highest dimensional strata here, which are the irreducible components or unions of irreducible components of Y. Okay, and everything in middle. So that's how you would visualize that. And for Y, now you can generalize this notion of valuation that I explained by sending every point here to a vector of, a vector of valuations between 0 and 1. So every point here has a unique thing here. And as you expect, if a point Q goes inside the face, it's a specialization lies on the stratum that corresponds to that face. Okay? So Q bar lies in W phi eta if and only V beta of Q lies in A phi eta. So you can sort of put these together and visualize both the Mod P and p-adic versions together. It may be helpful to draw a couple of low-dimensional pictures, even though I don't have a lot of time, but I'll do this. So I'm assuming D is bigger than 1, but if D equals to 1, it's still true. So you have this, and this corresponds to what? This corresponds to, in Mod P, corresponds to this, and to in Mod and p-adic corresponds to this. So this component, this vertex is the other component, and this edge here corresponds to the union of these super singular points, and the way they meet is exactly the way those meet. And here, this is a way to visualize the three parts that I put here, super singular and the two ordinary ones. And if D equals 2, I'm going to have my cube, which is a square. And what happens here is that now you have four types of irreducible components. I'm going to label them like this. So F is exactly the component where you have the kernel of Frobenius as a subgroup. Here where they have the kernel of Verschiebung as a subgroup. And they come together exactly in one point, or exactly in a bunch of points, yeah? So the two components come together at finitely many points, but at every one of those points, you're going to have two other components passing through and intersecting exactly at that point. Okay? So the picture looks something like this. So this is your candle of Frobenius, candle of Eschewing, and these are the two components. And every this A and B meet at exactly in one point, V and F meet exactly in one point. Okay. And what's special about A and B is that V and F map down under pi in a finite flat manner to the prime 2p x bar. But A and B are going to be vertical. So they're going to collapse in dimension when you go down. And that's actually very important in the argument. Okay. The only other thing I will introduce before moving back to the proof is for much of the proof, I will be only using V, the valuation of Q, which is defined as the sum of all these partial valuations, beta. And this is exactly equal to the 1 minus degree of C again, if Q corresponds to AC. And like before, the valuation of the W applied to Q is D minus valuation of Q, and so on. Okay. I'm sorry? Oh, that's D. Yeah. Thank you. And like before, if I write YI, this interval actually is going to be inside 0, 1, and I mean that the valuation belongs to I. So I'm going to just be working with V most of the time. Okay. So what happens? So let me tell you what goes wrong. So I'm going to go back to the proof now and tell you what goes wrong. What is a small? Now, naturally, the region... So let me take D equals 2 and remember P is inert. It's the same mistake I'm making. Everything goes up to the dimension. Yeah. So in this work with Gore, we proved that you can actually extend any over convergent modular form to something like this. Now remember, this is the tube of the multiplicative reduction, the kernel of Frobenius one, yeah? So an overconvergent modular form is something which is defined on a neighborhood of this, on a strict neighborhood of this. Now we show that you can actually extend it to something of this form, which I'm going to call it U, or U canonical, which is the set of all Q such that V beta Q plus P V sigma inverse O beta Q is less than P. Okay? So if you draw it in D equals 2, you're going to get this picture without, I mean, the lines are not included here. In particular, these two vertices are not included. Okay. Now, what happens if I work with this? What happens if I work with this U can? Well, you can see what goes wrong. If you take U can and take the union of U can with its W, so this is going to be my variety from now on, now for the rest of the talk. If I take that, I'm going to get this, so I'm going to cover actually everything here, except for these two. Which means that this misses the tube of those two A and B connected components. So that's huge, yeah. This is the d-dimensional restriction, in deduction might be. Okay, so what do I do? Okay, so enlarge, naturally enlarge. You can. So I'm going to define for you the following region. This is, and also this. This is the point Q such that Q bar, or here Q bar, has type tau with cardinality of tau less than or equal to 1. So just let's focus on the one on the abelian varieties whose type is either empty, which is ordinary, or has type just a singleton. Okay, and look at the same here. So this is the pi inverse of this one. I'm just going to focus on this. And the good news is that this region turns out to be invariant under the UP operator, stable under the UP correspondence. In fact, now I'm going to be working with this region. So that's going to, here delta is the sum of 1 over p to the i equals 1 to g d minus 1. Okay, now this is also d. And this is going to be my enlargement of U tan. Okay. How does it look on this? It's going to be exactly the following. So the type has cardinality 0 here and here, cardinality 1 here and here and here, cardinality 2 in the middle, but in this the troublesome places, the type is sometimes 1 or 2 in cardinality. So I'm going to take this, take the entire edges here, and sum of this as a result of my definition. But I don't want to go all the way to the end. I want to go only up to d minus delta. So d is 2 here, so I'm going to go up to very close to 2. Okay. In general, I'm starting from the origin here in my evaluations and go very close to the other vertex diagonally. So my region misses the middle completely. I don't care about the middle, but it's this, a bit of this, 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 this. That's my R. Okay, now, if I want to make a definition here, if Y is the disjoint union of YA, these are connected components, I want to define RA to be R intersection YA. Just look at now I want to look components by component. It's just an index. Sorry? It's a Gothic A, slash mat frac A. Okay. Let me quit here. So now let me tell you the proof. Step one. Hopefully I can finish it in time. Okay, so what have I done so far? I saw that U can was a small, so I extend F. I need to extend F to a bigger one. So step one, any finite slope over convergent Hilbert modular form extends R. Okay. So that's going to be done. Oh, I didn't say this really. I guess I should have said this. So the way that Buzzard and Taylor, or really Buzzard later on, did this analytic continuation was by means of using the following functional equation. Now, if you can show that F is defined on some region, but UP of that region is bigger, then it means that UPF is defined on a bigger region, and therefore F is defined on a bigger region. And you can sort of consecutively do that and enlarge your thing. But the problem is that understanding the geometry of the UP correspondence is not, in general, very easy. Okay? So here, one can study that the geometry of that correspondence using a Kissing modulus. So basically, yeah, you look at the A and a subgroup C, and you look at A and other subgroups C prime, and you want to find where those other ones lie. Yeah. So somehow you calculate in the Kissing module, and you get enough information for that. All right. So that shows that F extends to this R. Step two. Those calculations, I have to say, use the fact that the type has cardinality at most one. Yeah, so it's sort of specific to this region. Step two, of course, I want to show that F, or rather alpha F minus beta G, extends to R union WR. Okay, what do I need to do? I need to show that I have to show that alpha F minus beta G and W of F minus G agree on R intersection WR. Okay, but that's not a very pretty looking open if you look there, and so you have to do something here. Okay, so how is it done? So you consider some auxiliary Hilbert modular variety where you take this C and you add another subgroup where D is different from C of the same type. And then you have two maps, just like usual. You have pi 1 and pi 2, which sends this to AC, forgets D, or quotients out by D. Okay? So you can show that, so prove that pi 1 upper star of alpha F minus beta G equals pi 2, I mean this, pi 2 upper star essentially of F minus G, wherever it's defined, on like pi 1 inverse of R. So first you show this is not quite the same as this equality. It's stronger and weaker than this equality. But to go from here to here, you have to use a lot of geometry to be able to deduce this. Okay, and I'll tell you very quickly what's at issue here. How does one prove this, by the way, first? Well, the proof is you first show that that's true for Q expansions. Okay, so you calculate this equality at a cusp, and then you show that each RA, which contains a cusp, is connected. So first is calculate at cusps, and then show RA is connected for all A. Okay, so that uses remember, R was that big region, and RA was the intersection of each connected component of the bigger space. Yeah. So each of those are actually connected. So that uses very closely the geometry that I explained for you earlier. And then, okay, now I have to go from that to that. Now, if you write this down, it doesn't quite tell you this, because the subgroups C and D are different from each other. Okay. So in order to be able to get that equality, you need to have this equation with one abelian variety but several D's to be able to just go from here to here, which means that you want to be calculating on a region which contains not just one subgroup for every A, but maybe more subgroups. Unfortunately, there is one such. So if I take C to be a part of R, so what is that? R was this thing from 0 up to D minus delta. Now I go from D minus 1 up to D minus delta. So it's a small part of my R. I can show that this is actually the, if I go from y to x, this is C inside y. In fact, it is the pi inverse of something. So C is pi inverse of C0. So in fact, C, whenever it contains an A, C, it contains A and all other subgroups of C. So I have a free hand to do whatever I want. This is because when you pull back a pi 2, you end up in the quotient of the universal abelian variety, A over C. So to go back to A, you have to just pull back under the natural projection from A univ to A univ mod C univ as the projection. Okay, so that allows me to show that star implies star star. Okay, so that's how you show that they glue together. And by the way, how does one show this? This is again a calculation with kissing marks to show. All right, I haven't come to the problem that I raised at the beginning. Okay, so I have R union W. R. Well, is it good enough? Okay, so step three. Oh, sorry, I forgot to say something very important. I can only do this calculation on C, yeah, not on R. You have to forgive me. So I show that this is equal to this on C. But I want this on R intersection WR. And it's really crucial that you can do it, you can only prove it on C. But the point is that one can show that every connected component of C intersects this weird looking sort of subset. So it's enough to actually prove equalities on C. Okay. So this part really uses the geometry. So that's why I wanted to mention it. Okay. And finally, I want to show that alpha f minus beta g is classical. I have some time. So I have R union WR. And one thing that I know about R union WR is that it contains the entire Y with type less than or equal to 1. Remember, R was Y type less than or equal to 1 going from 0 to some evaluation, and when you do W, you cover all of it. Okay, so I have something here. All right. So now let's go back to the initial, let's go back to the Buzzard-Taylor and say that instead of Y to X, let's just work with this to this. Of course, this is the pi inverse of this, yeah, as I defined them. Okay. And I have something defined here, and this sits inside y. Question, is it possible that the complement of this is very small in the sense that in mod p it has a codimension 2 or higher? The answer is no. The reduction of this mod p in codimension in mod p has codimension 1. So it's missing a bunch of divisors. So it's not automatic that f will extend from here to here. However, yes, there are some divisors there, yeah? But the key point is that because I'm in those corners, and those corners are vertical, when I go down to x, they're going to collapse in dimension. So their image will have codimension at least two here. So luckily my F descends, so, well, it's supposed to descend, yeah? So if I take my F, descend it here, now here I have something big. Extend it there, and then pull it back, I should be fine. Okay? So this is not big, but the image of this downstairs is big. So show that alpha F minus beta G, which is defined here, descends to a section H on this. And then I should actually remind you of a result that I wrote down from Gore and Ort. What's the specialization of this? The specialization of this is X bar this, yeah? And what's the complement of this is X bar this, yeah? And this is the union of all W taus where the cardinality of tau is bigger than or equal to 2. And and each of these has codimension equal to the cardinality of tau, which is at least 2. Okay? Therefore, I can apply the Kosher principle here. And I show that, in fact, you have something which is classical over X, and then you can, of course, pull it back, and it's classical over Y. Now, how does this one show this? I think I have, according to Moore, I have 1 minute, yeah? Or am I done? Oh, okay. So let me explain just briefly how this, the descent argument works, yeah? So, if I look over C, C is in fact the pi inverse of some C0, as I explained, yeah? And if you go back to that key equality, pi 1 upper star equals pi 2 upper star, and if you write it for all possible subgroups, now it's crucial that C contains all possible subgroups. If you write it for all possible subgroups and just stare at it, it tells you that alpha F minus beta G is independent of the subgroup on C. And therefore, on C, it descends to C0. And that's enough, actually, to show that here it descends, because you can take the trace and then take the pullback and show that it must equal to the initial function over some region and therefore everywhere. Okay? So that's how F descends. So finally, we show that alpha F minus beta G is classical in level prime to P. And the last thing I will say is that, so in the next talk, which is generalization of this in the case where the alpha over beta, the two characters, is the quotient of the tame, the ramified character, one needs to make a stronger analytic continuation result, because one cannot do this kind of descent. Yeah, and in fact, Michel will show you that you can do that, and you can enlarge even R, and he will explain that. Thank you very much. Well, I guess what's lacking is in the sort of modularity argument types. Yeah, I mean, if you have something which has the good kind of Q expansion, then there's nothing special about weight one in these arguments. Yeah. So, because these are actually things about the geometry of the geometry of Y, and you can take section of any omega to the K on it. Yeah. Yeah. If you have good enough F and G's to begin with, yeah, I guess you could. But I don't know.